When Jesus questioned Peter about whom he believed Jesus to be, Peter responded, "The Son of the Living God." Brother David Johnson will use these words found in Matthew 16:13-16 for today's sermon topic on this Words of Life program. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate for us to be heard. We pray that God will bless you as you listen today. Personally talking to a famous person would be memorable. How much more important is our privilege to talk to God through Jesus? Let's pray. Holy Father, we are humbled in talking to you, and we praise your name. Thank you for loving us so much. Please bless each of our listeners as they have need. Also, we ask that you will bless each one who is serving you, especially the persecuted who are in many places in the world. Lord, we're concerned about many who have turned their backs on holiness and anything that is good according to your word. Please bring convictions and renewal of faith. And Lord, when Jesus comes to call us home, please help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, "The Son of the Living God."
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God, understand its precepts, promises, and prophecies, and also incorporate them into our lives and share its truths with others. The title for the lesson is The Son of the Living God. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. Please listen to the Word of God. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." This is the Word of God. Recent polling in the United States indicates that the religiously unaffiliated, which includes atheists and agnostics, is on the rise, particularly in the younger generation. By much polling, the entire religiously unaffiliated group accounts now, in America, for about 27%. That means about one quarter, or one out of every four, now not affiliated with any religion. So since these type mindsets are on the rise, and especially with younger people, many of which will be America's future leaders, how are we as Christians to share our faith? The best approach, of course, is to focus on Jesus Christ himself. Most people can relate better to a person rather than to a principle, philosophy, or plan. To begin with, we could ask their opinion of who exactly do you believe Jesus of Nazareth was. Many opinions range from God in a human body to he was being a liar or a lunatic. Whatever one's opinion might be, no one can escape the fact that Jesus really lived and that his life radically altered human history. Consider world-renowned historian Jar Olaf Pelikan, who writes these words, quote, "Regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for 20 centuries. If it were possible, with some sort of super magnet, to pull up out of that history every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of his name, how much would be left? It is from his birth that most of the human race dates its calendars. It is by his name that millions curse, and in his name that millions pray." End of quote. Yes, Jesus Christ really lived. But what other concrete evidence is there as to how influential he is and has been? In their book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born?, D. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb attempt to answer this question more fully. They begin with the assumption that the church, the body of Christ, is Jesus' primary legacy to the world. Then they examine what has happened in history that displays the influence of the church, going back to Jesus Christ himself, the founder of the church. Here are a few that began by the influence of Christ's church. Hospitals, which essentially began during the Middle Ages. Universities, which also began during the Middle Ages. In addition, most of the world's greatest universities were started by Christians for Christian purposes, including in the United States, Harvard and Yale. More that began by the influence of Christ Church. Literacy and education of the masses. Representative government, particularly as it has been in the United States of America. The separation of political powers. Civil liberties. The abolition of slavery. Modern science. The discovery of the New World by Christopher Columbus. Benevolence and charity. Higher standards of justice. The elevation of the common man, and especially of the common woman. The high regard for human life. The codifying and setting to writing of many of the world's languages. The greater development of art and music. The countless changed lives transformed from liabilities into assets to society, end quote. Certainly, it is also true that the church has had its share of black eyes that has brought shame to the name of Jesus Christ. However, all people are morally imperfect, and the church, being made up of human beings, has had many imposters, many hypocrites, and those who continue to fall short morally, like in all human institutions. So what did Jesus Christ believe about himself? Jesus thought it was fundamentally important that others believed about him. This was and is not a subject that should allow for legitimate neutrality or a less than honest appraisal of the evidence. C.S. Lewis, a professor of English literature at Cambridge University in the United Kingdom, now with the Lord, and a former agnostic, captured this truth in his book, Mere Christianity. After surveying much of the evidence regarding Jesus' identity, C.S. Lewis writes these words, quote, "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. That I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says that he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil out of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. End quote. So the only reasonable, rational choices as to who Jesus Christ is are lunatic, liar, or Lord. Whatever we may think of Jesus, we cannot separate his identity from what he said about himself. Kenneth Scott Latouriat, the late great historian of Christianity at Yale University in the United States, states these words, quote, "It is not his teachings which make Jesus so remarkable, although these would be enough to give him distinction. It is a combination of the teachings with the man himself. The two cannot be separated. End of quote. In the first century A.D., when people were giving a number of answers about Jesus' believed identity, consider again Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. "But what about you?" he, that is Jesus, asked. "Who do you say I am?" Verse 16, "Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." So here clearly, plainly, Jesus Christ affirmed that he is the Son of the living God. Of course, not everyone accepts Peter's answer, but we should alert people not to avoid Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" Ultimately, it's a question for all who know something about Jesus Christ to answer for themselves as accountable human beings. Jesus' claim to be God's Son must be either true or false. Moreover, we cannot separate God's Son from his proposed revelation about his Father, the living God. If Jesus' claims are true, then he is Lord, and we must either accept or reject his lordship over us. Many are not convinced that Jesus Christ as God's Son meant that he therefore claimed divinity to be God. Let's examine what Jesus Christ claimed about himself as deity, as God. Consider the statement of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 23 through 24 in the New American Standard Bible, which says, "And he was saying to them, 'You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.'" Also consider the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 58, the words of Jesus. "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am." Again, the statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verses 10 and 11. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." These and many other statements by Jesus Christ himself make it obvious that he claimed to be God, deity, divine. So, if Jesus' claims to be God were false, then there are just two reasonable options. He either knew his claims were false, making him a liar, or he did not know his claims were false, making him a lunatic. Let's consider each of these options carefully. If Christ was a liar, then how can we explain the fact that he left us with the most profound moral, ethical instruction and powerful moral, ethical example known to mankind? We should challenge unbelievers with the question, could a deceiver, a liar, an imposter, of monstrous proportions teach such unselfish ethical truths and live such a morally exemplary life as Jesus did? The very idea seems incredulous. Someone who lived as Jesus lived, taught as Jesus taught, and died as Jesus died, could not have been a liar. So the other reasonable alternative, according to some, against Jesus, is that he must have been a lunatic. Could Jesus have thought he was God, but have been mistaken? After all, it is possible to be both sincere and wrong. We should understand that for someone to think he was God, especially in the Jewish culture that was fiercely monotheistic, belief in one God, and then to tell others that their eternal destiny depends on believing him, was no slight flight of fantasy, but the thoughts of a lunatic in the fullest sense. Anyone who has honestly and thoughtfully read the four Gospels would discover the immense human wisdom and intellect of Jesus Christ. Jesus has in abundance at least three qualities that all lunatics lack. Number one, his practical wisdom. Secondly, his deep and winning love, including his passionate compassion. Thirdly, his ability to astonish, his creativity, even his unpredictability. Lunatics are so usually very dull and predictable. No one who has honestly read the Gospels and knows human beings can seriously entertain the possibility that Jesus Christ was a lunatic or a liar. The truth is, Jesus was not only sane, but genius in his counsel, giving mankind a concise and accurate formula for peace of mind and heart. If Jesus Christ was no liar, no lunatic, then he must be Lord. Yes, there have been many self-proclaimed gods and so-called saviors, but only Jesus Christ is still standing strong after 2,000 plus years, and billions of followers profess to believe in him. Josh McDowell, on whose book entitled The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, along with the Bible to which this lesson is based, writes, quote, "Who you decide Jesus Christ is must not be an idle intellectual exercise. You cannot put him on the shelf as a great moral teacher. That is not a valid option. He is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. You must make a choice. The evidence is clearly in favor of Jesus as Lord. However, some people reject the clear evidence because of the moral implications involved," end quote. That is, to then live under his lordship. Sadly, many prefer to just stay in neutral, because instead of professed atheism or agnosticism, it's easier to just be lazy and apathetic. Who cares who Jesus is? The Son of the Living God cares deeply for you. He proved it by dying on the cross for you and for all of mankind. Can anyone seriously, really not care about the one who offers eternal life? Receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, and you can have your life transformed.
If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I have confessed to Thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. O guide me, love me, and my keeper be. In Jesus' name.
Is the Son of the living God your Savior and Lord? Do you believe in Him? The Bible shows that people who believe in Him also need to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by water baptism. This is our great blessing because Jesus loves you. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, simply ask for broadcast number 2008. That's 2008. We hope to hear from you soon. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.